Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Now, you knew that people are using ride-hailing services a lot, but now we know it's a lot. There were nearly 65 million trips taken via ride-hailing apps, according to numbers being released by the state for the first time. More than half of them, 35 million of those trips, started in the city of Boston. That's almost 100,000 per day for 2017 alone. Now, compare that to the moribund taxi industry. It completed fewer than 6 million trips in Boston last year. So behold the full glory of our great transportation revolution. With easy rides comes, though, even more congestion, deeper worries about mass transit. But it could bring smarter regional traffic planning. Maybe if the ride-hailing companies had released data on the routes their drivers are taking, but they didn't. So there is a lot to discuss here. And for a deeper look at the data, we're joined now by WBUR Bostonomics reporters Zininjor and Wemeka. Zininjor, hello again.
Hey, Meghna.
This is one of our favorite topics, ride-hailing.
So definitely.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit more about what the data from the state shows.
Yeah, so it gives us a picture of what's happening with ride-hailing across Massachusetts. As you mentioned, there are a lot of rides taking place. Most of those are concentrated in urban areas, so mainly Boston, Cambridge, and Somerville, as well as vacation destinations on the Cape and Islands. But what's interesting is that the overall number of rides doesn't tell the whole picture. So some other interesting data points, for example, are the number of trips per person. So even though Boston has the most trips overall, Cambridge has a higher per person rate with almost 65 trips per person compared to 57 for Boston. You also see in the Cape and Islands was among the top 10 there with 18 trips per person. Another interesting data point is that the average trip lasts around 15 minutes and goes for about 4.5 miles. The fastest trips happen in central and western Massachusetts, while the slowest trips take place in more densely populated areas. No surprise there. Boston, Brookline, Cambridge, Somerville, and Everett. Also, the data showed, you know, that ride-hailing usage tends to skew towards younger people. So that's really the big picture.
Okay. You know, I'm going to switch things up here a little bit, Zininjor, because there's a lot more questions I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
But I want to actually just bring in our other guest who's sitting right here, Chris Dempsey. He's director at Transportation for Massachusetts. They're a transportation advocacy group here in the state. And he's former assistant secretary at the Massachusetts Department of Transportation. Chris, it's good to have you back.
Great to be on with you both.
What I'm going to do is, like, Zininjor has the numbers, and mm-hmm. I want her to walk us through them. And I just want to get your reaction to them. So all these trips, 65 million trips, a lot in Cambridge, high per capita rate, a lot we see on the Cape and Islands. I mean, when you hear that big picture, what's your reaction?
It's an enormous number. That's 10 trips for every resident of Massachusetts, every man, woman, and child in Massachusetts.
But highly concentrated in greater Boston.
Absolutely. Yeah. Concentrated where we already have the worst congestion, as you were saying. And I think the traffic out there is soul-crushing for drivers, and it's also a real challenge for bus riders. And this is kind of shining a spotlight on that issue.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see how, like, the pieces all connect here together. Because if people are taking more rides, what does that say about what's happening to the T?
Yeah, so this is really interesting, and it points to some other reporting that came out earlier this year. So there was a report back in February from the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, and that's a regional agency that advocates for more transit investment. And what they found was that ride-hailing, as we've been talking about, is adding to traffic in the Boston area, but people are also opting out of public transit in favor of these services. So that report found that 59% of riders said they would have used public transit, walked or biked, if ride hailing wasn't an option. So I spoke with Tim Reardon over at MAPC. He co-authored that report. Mm-hmm. So I touched base with him about this new data that came out from the state. And he says, you know, it's clear ride hailing is a great attractive option for people, but these services are really creating challenges for the MBTA.
Our report estimated that the average ride-hailing passenger results in about 35 cents of lost revenue to the MBTA. And if you add that up across all those 65 million rides, We estimate that the revenue loss to the MBTA last year was about $21.6 million as people shifted from taking the T to using ride hailing.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And he says there's costs to the roadways, too, that, you know, if there isn't proper planning around this growth in ride hailing, you know, we'll continue to see more of these congestion issues as we've all experienced.
Those are tens of thousands of additional cars that are on the region's roadways during the morning and afternoon rush hour as people are choosing ride hailing instead of taking the T or walking or biking where they need to go.
Okay, Chris, let me just ask you here. So the other day I saw a Green Line train with a wraparound ad for Lyft. It was almost as if the T was advertising the source of, I'm not going to say its own demise, but, you know, what the thing that's really biting into it.
I've seen that train, too. And, you know, originally the TNCs were pitching the idea that they were just complementary to transit. They were making it easier for people who are transit dependent to sometimes get a ride. I think that is some of the story. So it's not all bad for transit. But as you're seeing from Tim's research that Zen and Jor reported on, you're also seeing a lot of these TNCs pull riders away. That's especially true, we think, in weekends and off hours, the times when the roads are less congested and maybe transit is not running as frequently. At the end of the day, during the weekday, as long as the Red Line is running okay, the fastest trip from downtown Boston to Harvard Square is going to be on the Red Line, not by vehicle. But it's these other periods of the day, and then it's the times when the train is not working well. Yesterday was a good example of that, where people are jumping in an Uber because the Red Line was just not working.
Yeah. Not working in a big way.
In a big way. Yep.
Yeah. So let me just ask you another quick question here. So there does seem to be an opportunity, though, to have the source of the challenge to the T also potentially be a source of the solution, right? I mean, I'm thinking, like, there are other cities, Chris, like Chicago, that have a much higher surcharge per ride hailing trip. It's like 67 cents in Chicago versus 20 cents here. And a lot of that big chunk of money, or those 67 cents, is going directly to help support transit in Chicago. Sounds like a good idea to me.
I think it's a great idea. It's only 20 cents in Massachusetts. It should be higher to help support transit and help support cities and towns. And I think as a trade-off there, one thing we could be doing is looking at how we allocate our street space and whether we should be allocating more to TNC vehicles. It used to be that in front of a building, you said, okay, we want a lot of parking in front of the building so people can get in
right, and
out. What if we said instead, let's have some of that parking become pick up and drop off space?
I mean, isn't Marty Walsh trying to do that?
He is, actually. Yeah. He's looking at that. And we give the mayor a lot of credit for trying to rethink some of that street space. It's an important part of the conversation as we look at the broader whole.
Yeah. So, I mean, because like, it would relieve all this congestion, right, that we're seeing in Indore. I mean, it seems like it gets worse and worse every year. But wasn't there also another, there's so many reports now, but wasn't there another report earlier this year from Mass Inc. that found that voters don't necessarily think that ride hailing adds to congestion?
Yeah, there was that report. And it's interesting because, you know, that the report found that voters didn't feel that ride hailing was adding to congestion, which is, you know, clearly in counter to that MAPC report. And you know, the state data that we have shows that clearly a lot of rides are happening. That Mass Inc. report also found that Massachusetts residents really want more money to fix the overall transportation system, so roads, bridges, and the T. But in that report, it was also unclear about who should pay for those
yeah.
improvements. So there's a bit of some split in terms of whether to have more electronic tolling. There was some opposition to a pollution fee for companies, and there was disapproval for raising tolls during peak traffic. But there is approval for lowering tolls outside rush hours. So a bit of unclear answers in terms of who should pay for this, but there's clearly a desire for more funding.
Yeah. This has always confused me, Chris. I mean, you've been following this for so long that we're living with the consequences of this transportation revolution. And, you know, as Nindra just said, like, people want more money put in the system because we know we've got to really update, modernize almost every aspect of how we move around here in Massachusetts. And yet they don't really want to pay for it.
So this is one of the eternal debates in transportation, but I think we're actually moving into a new era where we can do a better job as transportation advocates and professionals at showing people the benefits that they're getting for what they pay into the system. And so smarter tolling is a good example of that. Zeninjor brought up the data that people are interested in a discount for driving off peak. Now, that's a concept that regions around the country and around the world are using to have roads work a little better, try to pull some of those big trucks and cars off the road at rush hour to the less busy times, leaving more space for the cars and trucks that need it at rush hour. That's something that's actually pretty simple with today's technology, all electronic tolling. And it's something that we think MassDOT and other transportation entities should absolutely be testing out and trying, because today's congestion is killing our economy. The average driver in Greater Boston wastes $2,000 per year sitting in traffic. Ugh. That's on top of their car payment and insurance and everything else.
Wow.
So there's a real cost to your wallet, a real cost to quality of life, and we're not doing enough to try out new things.
I want to ask you one.
I think it's worth noting too that we're talking about the number of ride-hailing rides that took place last year, over 65 million.
Yeah.
There are 408 million rides on public transit that took place in that same time period. So clearly, people are still using public transit, and it's still providing and fulfilling a need throughout the Commonwealth.
Very important point, right? It is still mass transit, and it's absolutely essential. And so to that point, actually, there's still room for, we don't have tons of time here, but there's still room for the conversation about what would happen if the T improved its service and became a more attractive means to get around. Because I have this tweet here coming in from Andrew who says, it's much easier to pull people off public transit when public transit is broken. Why be stuck standing crushed with other people, going nowhere, sweating like a pig, smelling BO, when you could just sit in an air-conditioned car by yourself?
Andrew's exactly right. And we need to make more investments in the T to provide better service. But at the same time, getting out of transit and being in that Uber or that Lyft might feel really good individually. Collectively, it's been a real challenge and a real downside for congestion in Greater Boston, and that's where we need leadership and policy to step in.
Yeah. Well, this is a conversation that I know we're going to be having again and again and again because it's so vitally important. I'm so happy that we've got smart people to talk about it with Zanindra Nwumeka, Bostonomics reporter for WBUR. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Chris Dempsey, director at an advocacy group. It's an important one. It's called Transportation for Massachusetts. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.